Okay, we're doing testimony time now. We're going to start with our lovely Laura online, and then it's open for others to come and share. If it all happens at once, I'll need to put you in order, so I'll be sitting over there if you want to come up and share. But yeah, it's kind of open mic kind of sharing. So yeah, take it away, Laura.
And so it's good to be with you virtually this morning, church. There's a couple of things you need to know about me before I tell you the story. I'm going to tell you a bit of the short-ish version. I'm going to leave out some details. I'm happy to share more later. Point of the story is to glorify God. I'm going to give you an example of how he has been good in my life. So a couple of things you need to know about me as I get started. So one is that I love the color orange. If you don't know that already, I can tell you about why and the meaning it has. That's another story though, but you should know that. You should also know I really don't like making decisions. And that, like an ice cream shop and there are a whole bunch of flavors, it's like I usually look it up online in advance so that I can make my decision. So that's small decision. I also really don't like making big life decisions. So now to the story. So we're going to go back to circa June 2022, the end of June. And I am currently working at UBC as a staff member in the Center for Accessibility. Really enjoy my job, really meaningful work, great people I get to work with. And I have, over the last couple years, applied for a few faculty positions. Not sure if I wanted to go that route and if I wanted to go the teaching faculty or the research faculty, but I've been applying for things anyway in occupational science and occupational therapy. So this is June, the end of June, 2022. A position was posted a little while ago, and it's due at the end of June, and I get a text from someone in the department who used to be my supervisor. Get a text, Laura, have you sent in your application for the Surrey job yet? This job is in Surrey. And I text her back and I say, no, I wasn't going to apply. My community is really here in Vancouver, and I don't feel it's time for me to create a new community in Surrey, and it's quite far. I wasn't going to apply. And she says, well, you don't actually have to be in Surrey until they finish building, which is like July or later. And you can always apply and say no. And also it's near the SkyTrain, so you can do lots of work on the SkyTrain. Okay, so I'm still like, nah, I still don't think I'm gonna apply. This next part I'm imagining, but I'm pretty sure this is how it happened. So she leans back in her chair and shouts over to the office next to hers, another person I know. She says, hey, Mike, text Laura, tell her to apply for the Surrey job. Because I get a text from Michael a few minutes later, and he says, so have you thrown your hat in the ring for the Surrey position yet? And I say, no, it's really far from my community, same song and dance. And he texts me back, and he says, well, it's really close to the SkyTrain. You can do lots of work on the SkyTrain. You don't have to be out there until they finish construction. And you can always apply and then say no. Same song and dance. Okay, maybe I'll apply. Because I've applied for a few, it's not a big deal. Just kind of adapt to the application a little bit and send that in. So a little while later, I get an interview for this position. And these interviews are like, you do a teaching demonstration for the whole community. You do another presentation thing. You do like a big panel interview. You do an interview with the head. It's like it's a half a day. So I get the interview. It's while I'm away in a time zone that's 9 hours ahead of us. So it starts past my bedtime. I don't have my technology with me, whatever. It doesn't go that well, but I'm like, well, okay, I'll just move on. Then of course I have a meeting with the department head the day after I get back from my trip. She offers me the position. And I'm like, oh shoot, now I have to decide. And so I think the assumption was I would just say yes right away, but I actually need to think about it. I got a few days to think about it and then let them know. I was going for a walk with Carolee that afternoon. And we chatted a little bit about it. Later that day, when I was thinking and praying about it, I had this memory of being at Redemption probably 9 years ago, and someone was praying for me. They prayed something about Esther, like from scripture. I couldn't remember what it was, but I thought I should go find my diaries and like look that up again. I didn't end up doing it, but anyway, get a text from Carolee the next morning. This was in my reading, and I thought it might be from you, and it's Mordecai talking to Esther about maybe for such a time as this, you're meant to be in that position. I'm like, oh, well, God, maybe you could send me a third thing from Esther. That would be really helpful and like a nice confirmation. And I, like I said, I don't like making decisions, so I'm not sleeping this week, hardly at all. And I could logic myself into either decision, taking this faculty role, staying in the staff role that I was in. I won't get into all the details, but logically either of them is great, have pros and cons, et cetera, have great opportunity to glorify God in either of these roles. So I'm just agonizing over this decision. It's just awful. And then I'm on my way to work on Thursday morning. I had said I would let them know by Thursday morning. I still am like not really sure. I had sent to Michael, who I mentioned earlier, who sent me one of those texts, and he had sent me some feedback on a draft email that I had made. And one of the comments had a link, and I hadn't opened it. And while I'm on my way to work, oh, I should open that link. Sure enough, it was something from Esther, and I was like, oh shoot, now I have to say yes. So I said yes that morning. I would like to move to the next stage in the process. A whole bunch of details that I don't need to get into, but I'm happy to tell you the long version another time. But fast forward like a couple months, and I've had a meeting with the department head the day after I had said yes. Some things didn't go super well in that meeting. But I still was like, no, I still want to move forward with this. And then I have another meeting with her. It's a couple months down the road. We talked for like 2 hours, the tone changed. It was a great meeting. At one point she said, Laura, do you want this job? And I said, yes, but, and I kind of hesitated, and she said, oh, well, I found out, you know, we can give you a starting wage at the same as what you're making now, because they had offered me quite a bit less. And I was like, well, that wasn't actually it, but okay. I talked about my community, and this is where my community is, and that's really important to me. And she says, oh, now I kind of understand. Why don't you take the weekend? I want to make sure this is the right decision for you. Okay. So that evening, it's a Friday, that evening I am turning off the radio in my room. I just leave it on all the time. And the preacher guy is talking about how God speaks through emotions. And so I said, God, will you please speak through my emotions? Because my emotions have been here and there and everywhere and not even a little bit helpful. So I go to sleep. The next day I think, you know, I should really like go out there and just get that embodied sense of what it feels like to be on that land. You know, that kind of embodied way of knowing is really important. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. I was going to do it the next day, Sunday afternoon with a friend. Turns out it was really smoky that Sunday. So she had asthma and she was like, I don't think I can go. I was like, well, that's okay. I'll just go tomorrow morning by myself. Then I can get a feel for the transit route and whatnot. Okay, so I'm going to do that. That Sunday, I'm out for a stroll, and I see in the neighborhood, I come across this orange house, and that kind of thing where you think something, you're not really praying yet, but you kind of just kind of crosses like a cloud over your mind, was like, oh, God, wouldn't it be great if I could be in a building that was orange, or even just had orange accents? That'd be fun. Anyway, next morning, I head out to Surrey on transit. It's a beautiful day. As soon as I get off the SkyTrain, about an hour after leaving, I get off the SkyTrain. As soon as I set foot on the ground and start walking to find the building, I start to feel excited about this position. Not an emotion I've had about this at all. Agony, yes. Turmoil, sure. But I started to feel excited about this position. I thought, oh, well, that's a new emotion. So I'm walking along, looking at my Google map, trying to find this building. And I, oh, this is where it is. And I look up, and it's this nice glass building with orange accents. I'm like, no way. Okay, I think maybe I've asked for a few signs and God's given them to me. Doesn't always when I've asked him for signs about decisions. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes to this role. And there are a couple other things that happened that were also like weird technology failures at opportune times and whatnot. But you can ask me about those parts of the story. So to make the long story short, I said yes to the role. And I think there are a couple things that I want to highlight in the story. So one is that God is faithful and he does provide us what we need. Other decisions in my life, I have not had signs. So that's also why it was so surprising. Actual signs. But he gave them to me in this particular circumstance, and I'm so grateful. I think another thing for me that was important was it was an opportunity, is an opportunity to trust God. Because while in that moment, after those signs, I felt like, okay, like, yes, this is what I need to do. This is where God has me for this time. I knew that that kind of peace wouldn't necessarily always be there. There would be times when I would question, oh my goodness, did I make the right decision? What am I doing? And so I knew that I needed to say no. Like in those moments, I'm going to continue to trust God. And I'm going to look back at these times, look at those stones I've piled up along the way, and remember, right, God is guiding me. And so even when it feels like maybe this isn't the way I should have gone, I know that he is guiding me in that. So I pray for that for you folks. If there are folks who are trying to make big decisions or little decisions in your life, yes, God might not provide an orange building, but I know that he will be faithful, and he will guide you in different ways, in different circumstances. And I encourage you to ask him to do that. Another piece in this story that was important for me was being in community and talking with people and praying with people about this, because God really did use other people in my life to speak to me through them. And not all of them were necessarily Christians either, which is interesting too. God speaks through all people, and he can speak through all people and circumstances and buildings and colors. So that is all from me. And I look forward to hearing other folks' testimonies this morning. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thanks, Laura. That's wonderful. So anyone else have anything that's on their mind they'd like to share? Yeah, come on up.
Good morning, Redemption. Good morning. Yeah, I agree with Laura. It's great to be in community. I just wanted to share that we have become permanent residents. So that's the short version. I'm going to bore you with the full story. Anyway, yeah, so we are really grateful to God for what he's done for us. I think it's really an accelerated pathway. It's definitely God took our timeline and shortened it by like 2 years. So we're thinking, yeah, like, yeah, maybe I need to finish my program and then get 1 year of work experience and qualify for a certain pathway. But yeah, God had other plans. We had plan B, but our best plans were like worse than God's plan, obviously. So the reason I said that I agree with Laura that it's great to be in community, some of the information we got that helped this process came from people in this community, people in the other communities we belong to. So yeah, it's always great to, the thing I find with this this country or this part of the world is there's a lot of information out there and it's very hard for one person to be on top of it. So you might actually be actively searching for something, looking out, but you might just take a conversation with someone to solve something you've been trying to do for 48 hours on Google and on the internet. So yeah, so I say this because yeah, Zeki and I, we have a, Ezekiel, that's Zeki. We have a habit of checking out all the coffee places in UBC. So this one time, I don't remember if we were coming from a Bible study or from one of those coffee hunts, and then he mentioned to me, it's like, you know, BC has started, if you become a PhD candidate, you qualify for provincial nomination. And that pathway existed until 2016 when they discontinued it. And this was in November, just 2 weeks after it was reinstated. That's when Zeki and I had this conversation. I'm like, really? I found it hard to believe. And then he sent me the link later that evening, and I went to check it out. It almost looked like it had our family name written on it, because I had just become a candidate like 3 months before. And then we were sort of getting ready, thinking that we were going to use my wife's work experience. So we got everything ready. And by the time we thought we were ready to apply, we found out that the work she was doing no longer qualified for that pathway. So that door was closed. It was really disappointing because I felt like God was leading us, you know, in a certain direction. I was so sure. One morning or one evening, my wife wasn't at home. I was in the bathroom and I basically heard a voice that said, get ready to apply. And then I wrote my English language test. She wrote hers, did my credentials evaluation, got everything ready, created an express entry profile. And then when we thought, okay, it's time to apply, and then we discovered that no, that pathway no longer existed. So we're really, really disappointed. And then we started to explore other things. We're starting to look at other provinces. Maybe my wife will need to go for a while, go work in the one of the Atlantic provinces to qualify for their pathway. Yeah, we're totally ready to do that, split the family up and do that. But as God will have it, this pathway open. And it's a miracle because like we had everything ready. Like created the profile, everything was ready, and then this pathway opened. So we basically applied for provincial nomination and then got it at end of, I think it was January 30 or January 31st. The very next day, we got the invitation to apply from IRCC. And it took, 3 months, and then we got the approval to become permanent residents. So it's been an interesting journey, and I'm really, really excited. My tuition has dropped by nearly $5,000. So that in itself is a good reason for that. Plus, we don't get to pay $75 every month for MSP. There's just a lot of savings in it. So, we are really, really grateful to God for what he's done. And it just gives one an additional level of peace of mind that you can now say, well, this is home now. And whether or not I'll stay personally, I don't know. Like, I feel like my calling is elsewhere, but for the family, it gives us a level of stability to make plans and look to the future with confidence. So praise God.
Thank you. That's awesome. Anyone else?
Okay. I am living in the building that I am now for 6 years. And when I became to Redemption Church at the same time. Anyways, the suite that I had, it wasn't a wheelchair accessible. So I applied and they put me on a waiting list. I waited 6 years, but God is faithful. On his timetable, God gave me a wheelchair accessible suite. And he provided, Carolee helped me. She did a very hard work, and she helped me. And yesterday I had Mark, and I had Sarah, and I had Ashish, and I had Karen to help me to put up the pictures, to move things around. God provides all the time. I'm so thankful for this Christian family that I have here at Redemption Church. I'm so grateful because I'm disabled. I cannot do much. But my friends understood that. And the thing is that he will always provide according to your needs and according to your faith in him. Thank you, God.
Thank you. Do you
Thank you, Monica. Good morning, Redemption Church. Yeah, so today I just want to share something about obedience. So I shared this with a few of the people from the Pastoral Search Committee and my life group. I just want to share it with you guys. So a few months ago, and this is kind of a thing that, you know, when you talk about healing, it's one of those things in the church that can be a bit interesting because everyone has their own views of it. But a few weeks ago, a friend of mine from Philadelphia reached out to me, and he just seemed pretty frantic about what's going on. We were working on a project together, and he was like, "Hey, I don't know if I can help anymore. I'm actually in the hospital. We found out my mom has cancer, and this is going on. We just found out a few days ago, and we don't know how much time we have." And I was like, "Wow, this is shocking," because his mom seemed to be pretty good health, and it just came out of nowhere. And before that, the week before, he actually had lost his job. So like, he's like, you know, he's going through all this stuff. And, you know, and it's like one of those things where with healing, a lot of you guys prayed for my mom last year, and she had a stroke, and she's doing way better now. And I appreciated that. So, you know, it's one of those things where I was like, man, she's got cancer. What do I say to him? And he's on the phone. And God's like, well, he's not a Christian, by the way. And God's like, just tell him you pray for him. And I was like, yeah, but like, what if something doesn't, like, if it doesn't happen, like, then what? Like, you know, and I was like, I've seen this before. Like, I don't know if I want to say anything. So I listened to him. He talked for a while, and he kept talking and talking. And I said, okay. I said, listen, is it okay if I pray for you? And he was like, yeah, that'd be great if you can. I was like, okay. And I was like, is it okay if I share with other people? I have a Bible study group. Can we pray for you as well? And he said, yes, that'd be great. Please be praying for my mom. So I said, okay. So I prayed for him, and I shared with my life group. I said, hey, can we pray for my friend? This is what's going on with his mom. And we prayed for his mom. So fast forward a few weeks later, because what happened is they went to a hospital, and the doctors were just trying to figure out how they can slow it down. And then he was going to come back, and they were going to see how much they've been able to slow it down and what the next treatment was going to be. And she was going to be receiving treatment for the next couple of years. And they were like, okay, that was the best case scenario. The worst case scenario, she only had a few weeks. And so he calls me up, and he says, hey, man, I just got to say thanks. Like, I got some great news. And I thought he was going to tell me I got a new job or something. He goes, so we remember you prayed for my mom? And I said, yeah. And he's like, we went to the doctors to follow up. And I was like, okay, like, what's when's the next treatment? He's like, there's no treatment needed anymore. I was like, okay, like, what do you mean? He's like, well, we went there and they found out she has no cancer at all. Like, there's nothing there. So I was kind of like, huh. And I remember sharing this with Carol Lee, where it was like, it was one of those things where I kind of was like, oh man, like, you know, I didn't really want to pray for him when he told me about this, because I was like, I just didn't want to be disappointed. And God just pushing me and say, hey, like, just do this and let me do what I do, and whatever I decide to do, it's what I'll do. So just wanted to share that with you guys. And I know sometimes, you know, we pray for people and they don't receive healing on this side, and it's okay. And sometimes we pray for people and they do receive healing on this side, and God just shows up on that way as well. So either way, like, you know, God is still in control of the situation, and all he asks for us is to be obedient and like pray for people no matter what the outcome would be. So that's, yeah. So, and thank you guys for the people who are praying for my friend's mom. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, we have time for one more person, if there's anybody. Carol Lee. All right.
Okay, we've had really big testimonies, but sometimes we need to pay attention to the little wee things in life. And the other night, I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning and I could not get back to sleep. So usually I just pray for people. But at 4 o'clock, I felt to get up. So I got up and I thought, well, I'll do my morning devotions and I'll do my journaling. And as soon as I got up, I felt, look at your phone and check the weather. And I thought, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Who checks the weather at 4 o'clock in the morning? So I looked at my phone and it said it was going to rain at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I went and I looked out and I thought, yeah, there's clouds over the North Shore. There is nothing over me. And I thought, yeah, it's not happening here. A couple of seconds later, I hear drip, drip, drip on my skylight. And I have a chair outside on my balcony, and yeah, it's supposed to be waterproof, the cushions, but then I had some other cushions on there that aren't waterproof. So I went and I gathered it all up, brought it in. I just got inside, and it teemed rain. And I just said, thank you, God. You look after the little things that I don't even know that I need. And, you know, I think sometimes if we pay attention to the little things, then we have faith to pray for the big things that we need. But pay attention to those little things that happen in your day, because it makes your faith grow. And He is faithful.
Thank you. Cool. Yeah, that was cool. So themes of obedience, provision, God being faithful, trusting God, and yeah, little things that He's doing to build our faith, and we can trust Him for the big things too.